What's up, guys? It's Matt Prince here. This is the Matt Prince Podcast. Welcome back for another episode. Today's topic is this: train like an athlete. All right, so I'm currently driving actually to the Rebirth weekend. I'm heading down to Ocean Grove. I've got the boys, we've got eight guys coming through Rebirth number four. I'm pumped for it. It's gonna be fucking sick. I'm very excited about it. So with the Rebirth weekend, what we sort of go over, I live in a framework which I call the five dimensions. So I like to look at myself as a five-dimensional human being, as a five-dimensional man. And I think that it's very, very important to be fully understanding and I suppose moving forward in each area, so you don't become a one or two-dimensional douchebag and end up just like just being really, really fit or chasing money and career and jobs or anything like that. So what we try and do, what I'm going to be showing a lot of the guys, is delving right into a lot of the frameworks that I use in my life to keep me moving forward in my body, and the weaponization of my body, the bulletproofing of my mind, the daily habits and hacks and tricks and, like, I suppose, questions that I ask myself to keep my mind sharp and to keep me moving forward in that area. There's all the relationship stuff. Like, I'm not a relationship guy by any means, like in terms of a guru or anything like that, but there's a few things that I do every single day to make daily deposits that I find really help me and help the people that I'm trying to connect with. I think that's super important. So we go through some of that sort of thing. We go through some work on ourselves, as in, like, self-development is a huge thing that people underestimate. Like, understanding, I suppose, your past, understanding where you're going in the future, and understanding where you're at right now, and then questioning all your negative or positive beliefs around those things can be absolutely life-changing. So we go into some of that work, right? And the other two dimensions, you've got production. So when you look at it, your ability to produce in money, in finances, in career, in jobs, and whatever it is you do, it really is a key to life. Like, people talk about, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness. Now, I've realized in my life that whenever I've been in financial strain or stress or struggle, it makes all of the other areas a lot harder, like a lot more stressful, right? It just puts pressure across the board on it, right? When you find yourself in a position where you're financially okay or stable or free even, it feels great. Like, you don't have to worry about that stuff, and it's not as, you're not living in this scarcity mindset, right? And when you've been there and been back and forth and back and forth, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When you've got more than enough, you feel great. Okay, it helps dramatically. Even if there's things in the other areas that you're not completely happy with, it still allows you the ability to go out and, like, either get someone to help you, pay for somebody to help you do whatever you need to do, whether it's in your mindset, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your body. It gives you the ability to delegate out tasks that you don't need to do, that you don't like doing, that aren't in your zone of genius or aren't in your zone of in the zone of excellence that you live in. And it allows you a lot more options moving forward, right? Now, the last section in the Rebirth of the Caliber is the fun side of things. Like, I've been so caught up in the other areas. I used to follow just a pure framework that I learned from the guys at Wake Up Warrior. They talk about the core four. You would have heard me talking about it in the earlier podcasts where they talk about body being balanced business. Now, I love it. It changed my life. Really, really did. But when I get stuck in that warrior mindset, I turn into a bit of an asshole. Like, I go a little bit dark and I get a little bit too serious. So I need to be constantly reminding myself to have fun. Like, yesterday, because I got this event coming up, I was like freaking out. Like, I get agitated and, like, irritated and irritable, and I just want to do shit. And even though I was all organized, I didn't really have anything to do. I was sitting there, I was like tapping away. I was like, tell, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And she's like, play Xbox. Go play Xbox for an hour. All right. Okay. So I was sitting there playing my Xbox game, just trying to unwind. And that's part of the game. Like, if you don't schedule in the fun, you'll just keep filling it with shit. Right. Just because, right. You'll fill it more with more work or more life. Like, it's just the way we roll. Now, I know that's a complete side topic. That's a complete side note. That's a bit of an understanding of some of the stuff that we do on the Rebirth weekend, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the training stuff. All right, how to train like an athlete, why you should train like an athlete. Okay, now, in your body, you are designed to do certain things. Like, if you think right back into the day, like way, 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 way long ago, we were designed to be hunters. Right, we were evolutionary hunters. Like, we were people that were out there and we were, like, chasing meat, chasing, you know, the kill, fighting for survival. That's what we did, right? So we had to have endurance. We had to have physical strength to a certain degree. We had to have the ability to move, and like, we had to not be injured, because if we were injured, that was our livelihood, right? Now, when you start to look at it from nowadays, it's completely changed. We don't need a harm. We can fucking click on Amazon and get, you know, whatever we want shipped to us. We can go on Coles. We can put in an order, and then the same order can come to us every single week, delivered to our door. So we don't need to hunt food. That's all good. It can get delivered to our door, and we don't even have to leave the seat, right? So what we're finding is a lot of people are getting lazier and lazier and lazier. And I read a stat just the other day that by 2022, which is what, 4 years away, there's an estimate that 66% of Australia is going to be overweight or obese. 66%, that's two-thirds of the Australian community will be overweight or obese. Now, I think that's pretty fucking crazy. It's scary, right? You know, like, you see the ads. I've been seeing this ad that I really like lately about sugary drinks. I'm not a big sugary drink person. Very rarely I will have like Coke or even like juice or even like kombucha. Like, very rarely I'm having drinks with sugar in it. I just think, why drink calories? Like, I'd rather, if I was going to have sugar, I'd rather eat it. Like, that's just how I am. But sometimes, yeah, like, you know, I'll have a Coke or whatever, but it's very, very rare. Now, a lot of people, that's what they live off. Every single day, they're living off Coke, they're living off Pepsi, they're living off fucking apple juice. Like, whatever it is, they need sugar in their diet. They don't realize how much sugar they're drinking. Now, there's this ad at the moment that's talking about sugar and how it stores as like the fatty, the toxic fats and stuff like that in your body. And you can see in the ad, it's got like an image of it similar to how the smoking ads look, and it's like this really shitty looking fatty toxic tissue that's in the body, and it just looks disgusting. And then they talk about how it can cause cancer, and like, it's been proven that when people are in an acidic state, which is very similar to like having high sugars or toxins or fats in your body, when you're in an acidic state, you are more likely to have cancer grow, because the cancer can't grow if there's a lot of oxygen in the blood. Like, it's very, very hard for it to do. That's why a lot of people, when they get on cancer, well, when they get cancer, there's people that get put on like alkalinity-based diets. I don't know if you've heard of them, but it's something that I used to be right into a few years back, and I still follow an alkaline-based diet, not purely like how I used to, but it's very, very fascinating. There's a book called The China Study, and Tell's actually reading at the moment to try and work out some stuff with her gut health. But it's a book I read years ago, and it talks about in China how there was a place in China that just had no rate of cancer. Like, it was zero. Like, there was no cases of cancer in this place. And what they found was that everywhere around it was starting to get westernized, and they were starting to have like fatty foods and stuff, where this place just basically ate rice and like greens pretty much, and it was like a full vegan, full vegetarian diet. I think the once a month they're having fish or something like that, but it was very, very rare. And the health that place, the village had, was just tremendous. So much better than everywhere else in the world, which was just the alarming rates of cancer popping up. So that was really, really cool. Anyway, back to it. Sorry, I'm just driving. So this is going to be a long form podcast. I should have said that at the start. This will be not a 10-minute short one. This will probably be 20, 30, 40 minutes. I'm driving. That's what my whole story about the rebirth was before I went on the tangent. But when we look at going back to training like an athlete, I'll look at it from a few different points of view. Eating like an athlete, training like an athlete. The importance of looking after your body and treating it like a weapon, or treating it like an athlete, or even treating it like a Formula One car. Like, treat it like your car, and you'll probably find that you treat your car better than your body. Now, in that sense, when you're in training, you want to be looking at how you can improve your performance. Okay, so I spoke about how the hunters used to have to move and not be injured, be endurancy. Now, what do we need for our everyday life? Not that much anymore. You know, some people are athletes, some people are tradies, so they need specific skills for their specific things. But a lot of people who aren't doing anything and they're just like weekend warriors just training for fun, you don't really need to have any specific skills. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. Okay, there's something that happens when you train like an athlete, when you start treating your body like an athlete. Like, I'm talking, you're cutting out the sugary drinks, you're eating you're looking at food as a fuel, like a fuel source and like nutrients, rather than looking at it as like a treat all the time. Like, sometimes you just gotta not eat stuff that tastes fucking delicious, right? Like, stop eating cake every day because you're really craving it, or stop, you know, like, stop looking at it as like a pleasure thing all the time, because that's where people, you know, gain a couple of kilos each year and then end up 10 years down the track and they're 30 kilos overweight. It's because they look at food as like a luxury based treasure type thing, and it really can screw them up. Now, with the whole concept of training like an athlete, how fit do we need to be? Right? Why do we need to be fit? We don't, really. We really don't. But what I can guarantee is if you are pushing your body to gain fitness across the board, so let's look at the fitness side of things, you want to have a good endurance base, a good work capacity base, which allows you to go out and do more work in less time. You know, it might be through cardio training, it might be through circuit-based training. However you build that base, I don't really care. It's just you need to have a good, solid conditioning base, okay? And that way, from there, you can add more to it. So we can look at it from like, okay, cool, we're fit, we're moving good. Now we can start to add a little bit of strength to it. We can start to build some muscle around these good movements. We can start to build some strength around these good movements. Now, that's where it starts to become like a weights-based game, or a body weight-based game, or a kettlebell-based game, depending on what it is you want to do. But it's important to know that you need to increase your strength. And then after you've increased your strength, you're going to look at increasing your power and explosiveness. Okay, so things like your jumping, your throwing, all of that sort of stuff, like that's very, very important to start increasing, because that increases the rate of force development. So it helps your strength go up, it helps your conditioning go up, because you can do your conditioning faster and more efficiently and better, stronger, faster, all of that sort of thing. And then you start to move forward from there. Now, I've spoken about the pyramid before. The top part of the pyramid is your skill, your specific skills. Okay, so whether that's a sport or whether that's like a specific lift or competition-based thing, as you progress to a level where you're ready to do the skill-based stuff and ready to start doing some competitions, the reason I'm talking about this on this podcast, which is more of like a mindset power-based podcast, it's super, super important to realize how far people break through when they put themselves out of their comfort zone. All right, so you might train up to do a marathon, you might train up to do a powerlifting comp, strongman comp, football, you know, netball, cricket, whatever sport it is, martial arts, like whatever sport it is, if you can get yourself to a point where you're competing and you're pushing yourself, or you're doing something that you haven't done before and it's a little bit scary, after you do that and you start to get better, along that journey, you're going to have a significant amount of growth. You're going to be significantly more confident. You're going to believe in yourself more, which is going to show up in other areas of your life as important things. Now, if you can hear that vibration, I'm on my way to Ocean Grove, and they're doing some road works, and they've got those side things on the side of the road, but they're in the middle of the road, so I am trying to avoid them, but that's what that vibration is, so I'm sorry about that. But if you think about it, guys, like, as you start to gain confidence and gain self-belief and gain that self-power and like just know that, yeah, fuck yeah, I've pushed hard here, I've progressed, I worked this, I earned this, like I earned this body, right? As you get into that point, you start to describe yourself in that way, look at the outcomes across the board, right? Think about how your mind would feel if you started to know and believe in yourself and you knew you were like the man or the woman, like you're like, yeah, I can literally probably outlift or be fitter than most of the people in this room, right? Or I know I can, you know, back myself in when I'm walking down the street. If somebody tries to start a fight with me, I back myself to win it, right? When you start getting that level of confidence, like think about what that does for your mind. Okay, think about what that does for your relationships. Like when you're confident and happy in your progress in your body, and you start to go, all right, fuck, I look good. I look good in the mirror. I look good when I go out. I look good when I dress up. And you start to get that, and you start to see that and believe that. And then you start to like reflect that to others, and people see that confidence and you just ooze it, right? That's gonna help build tighter, more long-term sustainable relationships. Then think about it in your business, right? Think about this in your careers. Like if you're showing up like a boss in your body and people are looking at you and they're like, fuck, this guy or girl, like she's fit. She can do some shit. Like she's done a marathon. She does like boxing classes. She does like, you know, she's like high intensity work. She lifts weights. She can deadlift over 100 kilos. Fuck, that's more than I can deadlift, right? And they start to get all these thoughts in their head, and it's like a really cool respect thing that happens there, right? And then you start to look at the fun side of things. When your body's in shape, like I've seen this so many times in the gym, especially with the older community, there's people in the gym that I'm just so proud of that like when they started, they really had no physical fitness or physical capacity at all. And then, you know, 2 years down the track, I'll get a message saying, joining Royal Fitness was the best thing I've ever done. I got to walk on the Great Wall of China, or I got to walk up Machu Picchu, or I got to do a hike and visit the elephants in Cambodia, or, you know, there's just all these things. I got to go over and do, you know, like Kokoda. I got to do the Kokoda Trail. There's so many times when it's happened where people have just been like, there is no way I would have been able to achieve this awesome trait, this awesome feat, or this awesome experience without my body being in good shape. You know, one guy who I used to train, I don't train him anymore, his name's Steve. Him and Sue, a couple beautiful people, they do a walk called the Camino Walk, or they did a walk called the Camino Walk, and Steve's done it 3 times since. Now, before they did that first one, like we trained up for it. We trained for probably 1 or 2 years before this. It was when I was working out of Mum's garage and then into the other gyms. I worked with these guys as like a personal training session, and we built up their strength. We built up their fitness from pretty much close to zero. Like they weren't in good enough shape to walk a Camino Walk anyway, which is like a, pretty sure it's like a month worth of hiking. Like, it's pretty impressive. And anyway, like 2-3 years later, they're doing this walk, and they're like, there is no way we would have ever thought this was possible without getting fit, without changing our body, without losing weight. And I'm just like, and it gave them something to work towards as well. So they were eating better, they were trying harder in their training and walking when that walk was coming up. So it was one of those like double-sided things where they got a lot out of it because they were committed to it and they wanted to do it, and then they got the confidence and belief because they were seeing that it's going to be possible. And now, since then, like, I know Steve's over there, I think he's over there right now, to be honest, but he's on his third hike. Like, last time I seen him, he was going back for the third time, and he just loves it, right? And that's just so good. It makes me happy to see. Okay, so that's sort of why I look at this, and why I look at the whole conversation training like an athlete as a power-based option. Now, let's go into some specific training stuff, right? I'll break it down what I'm seeing in my body lately. The power of kettlebells, all right? First topic. So kettlebell training is something that I've done for a long time, and it's something that has been getting done for years and years and years. Now, I started doing it again before it became like the cool thing to do. It was something that it's happened a lot where like I've got into a training modality and started reading into it and trialing it on myself, and then like a year or two later, it's like fucking the local, you know, whatever is starting to do it. Like, there's just random people in their backyards, like people who aren't even trainers starting to swing kettlebells, and they swing them completely wrong. They get taught completely wrong by these trainers who have no idea. Like, some people even still call them kettleballs, right? I've heard a trainer call them a kettleball and trying to teach someone how to swing when I was in a gym, and it was like the most ugly thing I've ever seen. It was actually sad, but I couldn't say anything because it would have undermined that trainer and made him look like a dick. But anyway, that's just part of the industry. But it's when you look at kettlebells are an amazing, amazing tool. All right, I restarted looking into these again. There was, when was it, last year or the year before? I think it was last year. I went down to North Melbourne Football Club, and we got in there, and essentially what we did down there is I was just in the gym, just watching, just shadowing, just looking around, and I got to watch how a lot of them trained, right? It was super interesting. But one of the things I learned was how Brent Harvey was training with a lot of kettlebells. Right, Brent Harvey, when he was playing, and he wasn't playing at this stage, he was still training in there, doing weights with the boys, but he was playing like a local level at this point, and still training with the AFL guys. That's how in shape this old bloke is. But he, when he was playing footy, the reason his body held together, he believes it's from kettlebell training. Right, now, I started looking into this. I started thinking, why? Because I'd already used kettlebells for years, and it was preventing, like, I have a pretty good rate of hamstring injuries for my footballers, and anybody really, but for footballers in particular, I find people's hamstrings are really, like, really good, or we're really lucky, I'm not really sure. But I was like, why? Why is this? And then I started thinking about Brent Harvey. I started to look into it, and there's a stretch reflex that happens when you swing a kettlebell. Okay, so if you just think a double hand kettlebell swing, when you pull that bell through your legs and your hips go back and you stick your ass out and it stretches on the hammies, and then it just snaps back the other way, that's a good stretch reflex, right? Now, when you do a stretch reflex with a kettlebell, I believe it trains the hammy to stretch and strengthen in the stretched movement. So that would prevent possible hammy tears. Okay, so this is something that I just started realizing, and I've been doing it a lot myself, like swinging heavy bells, swinging, snatching for like a lot of reps, doing a lot of cleans and overhead carries and all this sort of stuff. And what I'm seeing is my body's just feeling tremendous. I feel really balanced. Like a lot of people, when they start training, they feel their core when they're doing kettlebell swings. And then, you know, their core gets stronger and they don't feel it anymore. They'll feel it in their lower backs, and then they'll adapt to that, and there'll be more glutes. They'll feel it in their grip, and then your grip gets better. So it really does cover every aspect of your body. But what I'm seeing as well with the kettlebell stuff is the ability to be able to press and strict press and get up with odd objects, and how important that is for the body. Okay, so these are the things that you do at Royal Fitness. We'll snatch, we'll do Turkish get-ups occasionally, we'll do swings, we'll do, you know, clean and presses, we'll do all these things. It's really, really, it really, really changes and shapes the body to be strong and functional without bulking it too much. I mean, you can use kettlebells to put size on, but the way we train, especially a lot of the girls with more of the quick lifts, they're called, so snatches, clean and press, swings, all the things that are dynamic, they're not really gonna bulk up people. Like, they're going to make you stronger, more athletic. If anything, they'll lengthen and tone, like, in a way. I know that's two shit words that are sort of very gimmicky in training, but like, if you imagine the idea of toning, like, I find people who do a lot of kettlebell work strictly, even this is what's happening to my body at the moment, you get this, like, it's like a gritty sort of tough muscle rather than like a bulky puffed up muscle. So that's what I mean by lengthened and toned. It's not like it's physically impossible to, like, you know, specifically tone an area, but I just noticed that my legs and hammies, they kind of feel like rubber bands in a way, in a good way, like in a powerful way. And that's just how they are. But when I'm doing a lot of just powerlifting movements, they sort of feel a little bit slower and a little bit fuller, like a little bit more, I suppose a little bit more pumped up. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense. I know that's a shitty description. I'm sort of just talking off the cuff here, but I've noticed a lot of people, like, you get leaner with them. I've dropped a couple of kilos since I've just been using kettlebells, and I think that's just purely because I'm using full body movements and going hard with them. But yeah, a tremendous tool, right? Now, what other tools do we use? We look at barbells. What do you use a barbell for if you're training an athlete? Max strength. Okay, why is that important for people? Like, we've talked about kettlebells and the ability of the stretch reflex, and we've talked about it. You know, we use the quick lifts and stuff to produce power and explosiveness as well. But there's something missing. If you don't have maximum strength, if you don't add in barbells or, you know, heavy grind kind of lifts, it might be a kettlebell strict press or a heavy, you know, double kettlebell squat. You can do it with anything, but the slower lifts, the ones where you're grinding, the ones where it's like a not so fast and the weights aren't really moving that quickly, although you're trying to move them as quick as you can, the importance of that for an athlete is tremendous. Right? I've never seen an athlete who is strong, functional, can move fast, who adds strength to that, doesn't become better, right? It's not like, I'm not talking building muscle, I'm not talking about bulking and getting thick and, you know, puffy. I'm talking about just getting stronger, producing more force, right? Now, the lifts that we choose to use at Royal Fitness, the main three are squat, bench, and dead, the powerlifting lifts. And the reason for that is they're the safest in terms of, like, lifting max weights and I suppose risk of injury. I believe they're the safest. I used to use a lot of overhead, but I find that grinds shoulders too much. And I used to be in love with just barbells, but now we use a lot of the specialty bars. So when I say squat, it could be a safety bar squat. Like, for me, I only ever use a safety bar now. I get people that only use a safety bar. There's people that only use bent bars, cambered bars to take pressure off the shoulders and elbows. There's people that just front squat. There's people that do just kettlebell squats, right? Like, and that's absolutely fine. There's people that you know, don't squat at all, and they do just like deadlift based motions. Well, they might body weight squat, but the heavy lifts are their deadlifts. Okay, so the deadlifts that we'll use are different ways. You got sumo, you got conventional, you got trap bar. Very rarely we'll use deficits or block pulls unless it's somebody competing for something particular. So the strongman of the gym, they'll use block pulls and deficits and things like that. The powerlifters will use deficit dead sometimes. But yeah, they're the main three. Bench press is the other one. Now, bench press done right is incredibly, it's very safe. It's when you start to like flare the elbows out and start to internally rotate the shoulders. That's where it becomes a pain in the ass on your shoulders, right? And I've been there. I've grinded my shoulders out terribly, and you just want to be really mindful of your form and make sure you get somebody who teaches you properly, and then take it from there. So, and if you're not sure, like if you're not a Royal Fitness member, if you're not sure, just start training with us. Just train with us for like 3 months. We'll fix your form up. You'll get stronger. You'll move better. Your performance will go up. You'll feel heaps stronger and everything. Now, the other part to think about is there's a lollipop lady that she's just walked out with a stop sign and a truck just kept driving, nearly skittled two kids and a mum. So anyway, she's laughing at me and saying, hey, look, is this guy serious? But you look at the bench press and that's an incredible feat for the upper body. And then you start thinking about pull-ups is probably the last one. We use a lot of pull-ups, do a lot of pull-upping for the back strength. We do a lot of rowing for the back strength. But the adding this max strength in all these areas and all these positions is absolutely key. Now, from there, what else do we do? We add in body weight. We add in like accessory work, unilateral work, isolation work on the muscles that we need to build. And the main muscles that we're trying to build in our gym is hamstrings, glutes, lower back, upper back, you know, triceps, core, you know, specifically like rear delts in your shoulders. Like we'll do a lot of stuff through there because I think that's really key. But there's always stuff that you want to be trying to improve on and grow on and grind out and just keep improving. Like if you keep building up all these muscles and all these strength long term, your body's just going to keep progressing and tremendous things will end up happening. So hope that makes a little bit of sense. Anyway, I'm going to go back to a shorter podcast after this one, but I just want to just wrap up with the one last little concept of training like an athlete and the benefits that you may have is if you look at your body as a weapon, or if you look at your body as a vehicle to experience life to its fullest from, like if you can think of it, I was like, all right, cool, if I can absolutely maximize my body, allow myself to live as long as possible in the healthiest possible state and the most fit, you know, all of that. If you can start actually thinking about this, you can notice and make some serious shifts towards a body that serves you rather than a body that holds you back. All right, like I said about the obesity thing, like it's absolutely crazy. But what happens? Like it's not just about the fat around the belly, right? That's bad. You know, there's health risks and health things that happen from that. But it's not just about that. It's not about the fat around the belly. It's about the when they take the shirt off, you know, and feeling ashamed of themselves to take their shirt off at the beach, right? Or feeling ashamed of themselves to, you know, whatever, like walk into the bedroom, right? And with their partner and they're just like, they just don't feel good about themselves, right? There's the the energy that you just don't have, you know, constant fatigue, constant cravings of shit, constant, you know, wanting to sleep, constant tiredness and burnout and all that sort of stuff. Like that's massive. And you don't even need to be overweight to handle this. If you're eating like shit, not training, you'll feel this. You'll feel fatigue, you know, and then you end up in a really, really bad slump and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So there's lots of other areas that if you don't take care of your body, there's lots of other areas that it affects and it's not just how you look. So I want you to start thinking away from that and then see yourself as a five-dimensional human being like these boys coming through the rebirth will be going through, and you'll start to I suppose it will start to matter more. There's more to lose when you start looking at it from a bigger picture. So anyway, I hope that helps out. That's all I've got for you guys today. I'm gonna kick on. I'm gonna go grab a coffee and then kick on down to Ocean Grove. I still got a bit of probably a half an hour drive, but I hope that helps out in some way. I hope you can get something out of that where you can apply that to yourself. I suppose my question for you today, I'll leave you with one question: is are you treating your body how it deserves to be treated? Right? Out of 10, how would you rank how you treat your body? 10 being amazing, 0 being like shit, 5 being average, somewhere in between, not that well, right? All right, guys, that's all I've got for you guys. I hope that helps out in some way. If you have anyone who may be interested in hearing these podcasts, share it up with them, get them on board, because it will help the podcast spread or help it grow, which is amazing, and it's amazing for you guys. I do this for free, so it's one of these things. It's the only payment that I ask is that you pass it on. And help me keep growing this podcast and helping out more people. So, guys, I'll talk to you all very, very shortly. Have a great day. Bye.